Open up your Bibles this morning to Deuteronomy chapter 7. It's the fourth book of the Bible, if you didn't know that. And Deuteronomy chapter 7 happens to be the 160th chapter of the Bible. And we're going to look at three verses today, verses 6 through 8 of Deuteronomy chapter 7. Talking about today a reward that none of us deserve. And what I'm talking about is God's love. It's something that none of us can do anything to earn, and yet God gives it to us anyways. Which is so interesting to me that we can't ever earn God's love because that's so backwards with how the rest of our world works. Everywhere we go, there's something that we can earn, good or bad. Whether it's extra credit at school for your grades, you do a lot of good stuff, and so you can make extra points. Sometimes it's bad earning lunch detention for your bad behavior, but I know none of you have any part in that. You know, when you were younger, you could earn a spanking for your bad behavior. My daughter, she was in the, she's right now in the beginning stages of being potty trained. So it's an interesting time in our lives right now. But we bought her this little, Elmo toilet, Elmo potty. Okay. It's this little thing. And it has Elmo right on the front. She loves Elmo. She calls him Melmo. And every time she is a good girl and goes to the bathroom in the Elmo potty, she earns herself two M&Ms and an Elmo sticker. So after her good behavior, based on her actions, she earns herself a reward. Now, I was thinking, wouldn't it be nice if it still worked like that? Hey, Mom, I just used the restroom. Can I have some M&Ms? You know? That'd be kind of nice, right? It doesn't work like that anymore. But there's so many things in our lives that are based upon our actions. If you do this, then this good thing will happen. If you do this bad, then this bad thing will happen. It's all based on you and how you act. Well, God thinks a lot differently. In fact, let me turn it the other way. Romans chapter 8, the last two verses, verses 38 and 39, say that nothing can separate us from God's love. Goes through a whole list. Height or depth, life or death itself cannot separate us from God's love. So if you can't do anything to distance yourself from God's love, then what makes us think we could do something to earn more of God's love? It doesn't work that way. In God's world, He loves everybody exactly the same, no matter what you've done or who you are. And that's good news for all of us because none of us deserve that kind of love. And we're gonna talk about that this morning. But you need to understand that just because God loves you doesn't mean He's okay with the way you're living your life right now. Maybe you're right in the middle of sin. Maybe you're doing stuff that you know you should not be doing. Whether it's drugs, whether it's hanging out with that guy or with that girl or doing that thing, whatever it may be, that you know you're not supposed to do, God hates that you're involved in that, but He still loves you, and He's still there ready to forgive when you're ready to come back. But there's nothing you can do to earn more of His love. He loves all of us with an eternal, undying love exactly the same. So let's read Deuteronomy chapter 7. Let's look at verse 6 for now. And this is God speaking to His people, Israel. But since we now are God's people as well, much of this applies to us as well. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for Himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. So the first thing is that we are unique. We are unique. Now, let me give you something to think about here. This is an interesting statement, okay? Something to take home with you. God did not choose us because we were unique. But the fact that He chose us makes us unique. Okay, let me say that one more time. Might sound confusing at first, but it's very simple, okay? Let me explain this. God did not choose us because we were unique. He was not sitting up in heaven like, that person's unique. I choose them. Doesn't work that way, okay? But the fact that He chose us, despite the fact that there was anything great about us, that is what sets us apart. That is what makes us unique. The fact that there's not much attractive about us, but God chose us anyway. That he loves us. So he didn't choose us because we're unique, but because he chose us, we are unique. Now the world is full of a lot of unique people. A lot of people that we give these titles to, whether they're celebrities, and they everywhere they go, they get their pictures taken. You know, like, oh man, this person, she was buying strawberries at the grocery store. Who cares? You know? But they're like, cameras, taking pictures. Oh, she picked up a lemon. Take a picture, you know? Everywhere they go, I'm so glad that nobody cares about my life like that. I'm so glad. But these people are unique, and the world says that they are worth watching and looking at because of whatever they've done. Athletes. I read a list of the top 10 highest paid athletes in the year 2007. Tiger Woods was number one on the list. Just last year, he earned himself over $100 million by playing golf. Can you believe that? This guy hits a little white ball into a hole a lot of times, and then we give him $100 million in 1 year, okay? That's crazy. But this guy, because of his actions, the world says, this guy is special. Watch this guy. There's also people, you know, celebrities, there's athletes, there's also people who hold, like, world records, right? I heard about one guy, read about one guy who holds the world record for longest distance riding on a bike backwards while playing a violin. 37 and a half miles, this guy got on his bike, rode backwards while playing a violin. And the first question that came to my mind is, how do you ride a bike backwards? I can barely ride one forwards. How in the world do you ride one backwards? I don't even know how to begin doing that. But 37 and a half miles, this guy had to like make some serious turns, you know? And I don't know how you do that, but this guy holds the world record for that. Now here's the difference between Christians and the world. We just read Deuteronomy 7 verse 6. It says, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. So why are we unique? Why does the world say these people are unique? Well, here's the difference between us and the world. The world bases this label of being unique or being special off of these people's actions. We base the fact that we are unique and special to God off of his actions, never ours. It's never been something that we have done that makes us special. It's the very fact that God has chosen us despite the fact that there's nothing special about us. So we are unique because God has chosen us, not because we're anything special in and of ourselves. Revelation 22 gives us this really cool picture into heaven. And it's awesome because it's basically the throne room of heaven. And we get this glimpse of this eternal worship service going on in heaven. And one of the pictures that I love, Revelation 22 verse 4, says that that God's people will see him face to face. And it says that they will have his name marked on their forehead. Okay? Now some of you guys are like, I don't want God writing on my forehead. All right? Now, I don't think God's really going to be at the pearly gates with a Sharpie, like, okay, God. Okay, next person, God. He's not really going to do that, okay? But it gives us this picture that we are marked property. We are unique. We belong to God. And he loves us, and he never wants us to forget it. So we are unique. We are chosen by God. And notice the fact that it says God chose us. We did not choose God. It was his idea. So we are unique. Second of all, we are undeserving. Verse 7. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. God looks at these people and he says, I don't want you guys to begin thinking that I chose you because you're some like great mighty nation. No. In fact, if we're realistic here, you guys are like the smallest, the puniest, the weakest, there's no reason that I should have chosen you. Now, people might have been tempted to think that it was because of their powerful armies or something, because in Deuteronomy chapter 6, God has just gotten to listing all of these nations and people groups that the nation of Israel, by God's strength, is going to go and defeat. So maybe people would say, well, God must have chosen Israel because they're going to be the winners in the end, you know. And he's going to, you know, use them, and they're some big, mighty nation. Not the case at all. Remember, these guys were wandering through the wilderness for many years. They lived in tents. They were not well trained in battle. They didn't have a lot of stuff. And compared to many other nations around them, they were very small. Even though there were a couple million of them, they were very small compared to many nations around them. When God looked at these people, there was nothing attractive about them, but God chose them anyway. When God looked at you and me, there was nothing attractive about us, but God chose us anyway. We are undeserving of this kind of love. In fact, if we're honest, what we really deserve from God is judgment for the way that we've lived our lives. But he chose us and he loves us anyway. Think about it. When you guys get older, you guys are going to come up against this kind of thing because you're going to have to start getting a job. And everywhere you go, you're going to have to fill out a job application. And the whole point behind a job application is, does this person deserve this job? What's your past experience with flipping burgers? We need to know about that, you know? How many times have you washed a car if you're applying for a car wash, you know, position? Whatever it may be, they are using that application to determine if you deserve to work there, if you've earned it. They may call people that you put down as references. Hey, how hard of a worker is this person? They're trying to determine if you deserve to work there. But we are undeserving of God's love. We are very deserving of God's judgment. But he gives us grace anyway. So we're unique because God chose us. We're undeserving of God's love. But it works out great because number three, God is unconditional. Look at verse 8. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers. Human love is conditional. And basically what that means is, when we say we love each other or we like hanging out with each other, it's based on how you treat me and vice versa. Think about it. If I walked up to you and I punched you in the face. Hey, my name's Kevin. Boosh, punch you in the face. You're knocked out for a couple minutes. You wake up. Now, what do you think your reaction would be? First off, you'd notice you couldn't see out of one of your eyes because it's all black and swollen. Second off, you would not say, hey, I love being your friend. Right? You would not say that about me because I just punched you in the face. You would say, I hate you. You know, if your flesh was coming out, you would not like me very much. And you would deserve not to like me. But you wouldn't love me because I've treated you badly, right? Our love is based on how good we treat each other. And if you treat me good, then I'm going to enjoy hanging out with you and vice versa. But if I don't treat you good, you're not going to like hanging out with me. You're not going to love me. Love is conditional when it comes in the human form most of the time. God does it the other way. He says, I don't care what you've done or who you are or how bad you treat me. I'm going to die for you anyway. It's unconditional. Jesus died for the very men who nailed him to the cross. Those aren't people we would enjoy hanging out with. Our love is conditional. God's love is unconditional. And if they nail him to the cross, he loves them just the same. Now, that doesn't mean he's happy that they were doing that. It doesn't mean that God is happy with the way you may be living your lifestyle right now. But God loves you still. And he's trying to draw you to him. And he's willing to give you another chance today while you still are alive. God's love is unconditional. God himself is unconditional. And so people may ask, so you mean God loves me even though I, and he can fill in the blank. Yeah, he does. But what about the times that he still loves you. Even though he still loves you. But what about, no, he still loves you. Do you understand? It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you are. God still loves you, and he sent Jesus, his only son, to die for you. That's that unconditional love. Now again, that doesn't mean it's okay for you to continue in your lifestyle. But it does mean as long as you're alive, now let me remind you, you don't know how long that will be, but as long as you're alive, you have another chance. But today could be it. That's the thing that a lot of people don't understand. God's forgiving, no big deal. I'll wait till next year or something. How do you know you're going to be around then? Today is your day. God is giving you one more chance today. You know, sometimes we come up with like questions we want to ask God. I don't know if you guys have ever thought of these questions. One question I thought about asking God is why he created mosquitoes, okay? We were in South Dakota for 2 weeks, and there was literally like swarms of mosquitoes. I'm serious. Like, I think mosquitoes all over like the United States called each other on their mosquito phones and like decided to have a family reunion of mosquitoes in South Dakota while we were there. Hey guys, Velocity is going to South Dakota. We should go hang out. Yeah, it'd be sweet. We could suck their blood and stuff. Woo! You know? And they all from all around the United States flew to South Dakota just to hang out with us. There were times literally on the trip I could count 30 to 40 mosquito bites all over my body. It was ridiculous. They bite me through my shirt. I felt like I had to wear armor, okay? And while I was out there, I really began wondering this. God, why did you create a mosquito? They're the worst things ever. I hate those things, you know? And I'm trying to think, like, is there a bug that they eat that maybe that's why God created them? I think literally when Adam and Eve sinned, God was like, they deserve some bad consequences. Mosquitoes, that's what'll get them. I think it came with the sin package, you know? Now, when I get to heaven, I probably honestly won't care about mosquitoes by that point because I'll know they'll be gone for eternity. I get to worship with all you guys in heaven. And I'll be stoked about that, and I probably won't think to ask God about them. But if I did, that would be a question I would ask. Now, another question people might ask, and one I've thought of as I've been reading the Old Testament, God, why did you choose Israel? Why did you choose us to be your people? I mean, when I read about these guys, these are not the guys I would have chosen. And so people might ask God, God, why did you choose them? Now, if God was like one of us, he could probably say, I don't know. I have no idea why I chose them. He really has no real reason besides the two that he gives us in verse 8. Okay? Now, first off, back up to verse 7. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you are more in number than any other people, for you are the least of all peoples. But here's the first reason, because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers. I believe that's God's twofold answer right there. If somebody were to ask God, God, why did you choose them? He would say, first off, because I'm God and I can. It says, verse 8, because he loves you. God didn't choose you because of how great you are, but because he loves you. Wait, but why does he love me? Because he loves you. No, but why? Because he does. That's it. That's the reason it gives us. And then he says one other thing, and because I'm faithful. I am fulfilling the promise that I made to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, your fathers. He says, because I love you and because I'm faithful. Not because of anything you've done. The Bible tells us we were all born sinners. We were born separated from God. Because of that, every one of us deserves eternity in hell. But God loves us anyway. You know, sometimes humans have a tendency to overreact when it comes to certain things. A lot of times people say God overreacts when it comes to sin. Like, eternity in hell? I don't know about that. That seems a little too far. Sometimes people say God's overreacting. I read about one woman in California this week who overreacted. She lives in a trailer in California, and I guess she saw like two mice scurry across the floor. So in order to kill the mice, she pulled a gun on them. Okay, now just a word of advice. use mousetraps, okay? Those are much more simple, less violent ways to get rid of a mouse problem. She pulled a .44 caliber Magnum revolver on these mice. Now, I don't know much about guns. I Googled it, found out you can use a .44 Magnum to kill a bear. And she pulled it onto mice, okay? Now, in the meantime, she ended up shooting herself and her husband. That she pulled the gun out and the gun like went flying through the air, landed on the ground, shot her in her kneecap, and then hit her husband in the hip. They had to both go to the hospital. They're fine. But all goes to show that was a bit of an overreaction, don't you think? Mice, get the gun, you know? Bad idea. Well, here's the deal. A lot of people say, I can't believe God would send people to hell for eternity. That just seems crazy. God doesn't, you know, I've heard it said, God doesn't send anybody to hell. People send themselves to hell because God has provided every possible way out, but people choose to not go that route, go their own way. God is not overreacting at all. He's told us very clearly, guys, here's how it is. You were all born separated from me. You have a major problem called sin, and I've fixed it. If you will follow me, you will spend eternity in heaven. If you choose not to, you choose eternity in hell. It's that simple. Jesus himself said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's it. He's the only way. You could have done a lot of great things in this life. But when you get to heaven, God doesn't care unless you've known Jesus Christ. And let me wrap it up with this. This is a great thing about God's unconditional love. I'm going to have Chris come up here, close us in a time of worship. Here's the deal. You got to catch this. The great thing about God loving us unconditionally, despite what we've done. Here it is. You ready? You ready? Here's the great thing about it. It puts the focus back where it should be. And here's why. When God loves us despite the bad stuff we've done, we can no longer brag about God loving us. Think about it. If God loved us because of what we've done, because of how great of a person we could totally brag about it, right? Like, God loves me. I mean, check me out, you know? Hold on, let me pull up my list of reasons why God loves me. Top 10, you ready? Well, first off, I'm handsome. Second off, I got big muscles. Third, you know, and you could read off all this list and be like, I'm pretty sweet. That's why God loves me. But the fact that God loves you, even though there's nothing good about you, puts the focus back on God because it is now no longer about what you have done, but only about what God has done. And it drives us to our knees in humility as we remember, God, I was born a sinner. I have done so many terrible things in my life, but you love me the same. And because of that, I can't boast about myself at all. I can only boast in Jesus Christ and him on the cross. That's it. That's our only hope. That's all we have to claim. And that's the only reason God really loves us, is because of what Jesus did for us. And right now, we have an opportunity to remember that through communion. In just a moment, Chris is going to be leading us in worship, and you guys are going to have a chance to spend a couple moments in prayer to yourself, talking to the Lord, confessing any sin that's going on right now in your life. And when you're ready and you've prepared yourself, this is not a joke, come up to this table, take a little piece of bread. Remember, that symbolizes Jesus' broken body. And as you dip it in that juice, remember that juice, that's all it is, but it's a symbol of Jesus' shed blood for us. I think I've shared this with you guys before, but one of my favorite things we do with communion is we have these mirrors that the juice and the bread are sitting on. The first time we did this, I went up to take communion, and it really hit me, because as I got up there, I grabbed a little piece of the bread and I dipped it in the juice. And as I went to put that in my mouth, I was looking down and I noticed my reflection in this mirror. And as I was bringing that bread up to my mouth, a drop of that juice fell and splattered on my reflection in the mirror. And I begin to think, if this juice symbolizes blood, I, in reality, should have been the one that was on that cross. It should have never been Jesus that was bloody. He's God. He's perfect. I'm the one who sinned. I should have been on that cross. Every one of you should have been on that cross. But Jesus took it so that we didn't have to. There's going to be leaders around the room. We would love to pray with you, talk with you, whatever you need. But what you need to understand most off is this is not a joke. You need to prepare your heart. If you're not ready, don't take communion. This is remembering that Jesus died for you. It's a big deal. So we're going to close in prayer and worship. And when you guys are ready, come up and take communion. Let's pray. Jesus, you are so good to us. You love us unconditionally. And because of that, right now, Lord, we are humbled by the fact that you've chosen us despite who we are and what we've done. We know that doesn't mean you're happy with us and you're not okay with the sin in our lives, but you love us anyways, and you've given us one more day today to turn our lives around to you. Jesus, would you use us? Would you speak to us? God, open our hearts right now. As we come and take communion, Lord, let it be all about you, not about us. We have nothing to boast in and of ourselves, but only in you. In your name we pray. Amen.